Welcome to TFR Let's Talk. I'm your host, Swapnil Bhartia, and my next guest is, once again, Rob Hirschfeld, co-founder and CEO of Reckon. And today we are going to talk about CentOS, the whole change that Red Hat did there. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. These are exciting topics.
CentOS had a very strong following user base. So why did Red Hat made this change? What are they trying to achieve with this? You know, what is their end goal with this?
There are some tea leaves that you can read about what's going on with Red Hat and what they're doing. CentOS was designed originally to be an alternative for Red Hat's enterprise Linux. It was supposed to be an enterprise grade Linux based on Red Hat bits. And so there's always been a degree of commercial tension between the enterprise version that Red Hat licenses and the open source version that they took over maintenance of about 5 years ago. So it's a natural commercial move in their sense. But CentOS also brings a lot of attention and user base to Red Hat. So there is a risk for them in making a choice like that, where people, they're only giving people a commercial option and not a free option.
No, they made the change. And as we were saying that there was already a massive user base. So what is the impact of this change on users? Of course, there are no paying customers. I mean, the customers were for Red Hat, you know, Enterprise Linux, which it competed against. So what is going to be the impact on those users?
This is a pretty significant impact. And at Rackham, we heard immediately from customers asking questions about how they were going to sustain their versions of deployed operating systems. So let me be specific about what happens. In a case where the operating system of a previous version isn't being maintained, that means that when somebody has a patch or a change or an upgrade, or they're writing software that relies on that version, which is very common, then they do not have a way to get patches or fixes for the operating system. They have to literally forward port anything they've built on that operating system to the latest version. And for our customers and the industry more broadly, that type of forced migration is very bad. It's unattractive and not desirable or even commercially feasible, because they might not have access to the code. They might be relying on a vendor who they can't contact or isn't able to keep up. And so what you're literally doing is you're telling people that deployed software will now be insecure or out of date or unpatchable because they can't get access to that older version where there's fixes or changes being made. It's a traumatic change in operational process across the industry. It's a very significant impact.
What is the impact, or what does it mean for potential competitors? There are already some forks that are coming up. So how is the industry or competitors respond? Or mostly in some cases, they are actually the users who relied on CentOS and they are responding in a way with coming out with their own solutions. So can you talk about how is the potential competitors responding to it?
We saw immediate response to fork CentOS. And I want to be very specific about what forking CentOS means, because in some cases, CentOS, as the way Red Hat has designed it, remains the upstream version of Linux that people are depending on, including Red Hat for their enterprise Linux. But the thing that makes this really challenging is then you have to do a build process and you have to have naming and integration components and things like that. So right after the change, two predominant brands, but several others, something called Rocky Linux and Alma Linux, both created forks in which they could do their own builds of CentOS. One's called Rocky, one's called Alma. And from that perspective, they use that same upstream source codes, but they have committed to maintain versions over time. So you can count on having a previous release available in those other distributions, but they should be binary compatible with CentOS. So it really did trigger forking behavior out of that core code base in very similar ways to the way CentOS came about years and years ago. And it's also worth noting there are a lot of Linux distributions. So, you know, major ones like SUSE or Canonical or Debian have, you know, sort of new life as people look at those as serious alternatives to how the system is going to be maintained. And we do see people opting, you know, some of them are waiting to look at these alternatives. Some of them are just saying, I'm going to switch to a distro where I don't have to deal with vendors like Red Hat.
And that brings me to the next point, which is, you know, what are the realistic choices? Because yes, there are forks, but would users be a bit skeptical? I mean, they trusted CentOS community for so long, and suddenly there is a new community. A lot of companies actually who are building those things, they have been around for a while, but in open source world, you do have to, you know, trust the community. So you mentioned SUSE, you mentioned Debian, Ubuntu is there, Etherlife. If you go to distro watch, there are so many distributions. But if I look at it from Rackham's perspective, because you are not just consuming it, you know, you have a whole, you know, customer base. So if I ask you, what kind of choice are you looking for, or what kind of solution are you looking for, where you get best of both worlds, you get long-term support without being tied to any subscription model?
This is a very serious question for Rackham customers. We help people deploy operating systems at global scale, enterprises and open operating systems. And you know, the overriding concern here is one that the systems are stable and can be deployed. And every operating system has its own quirks, its own challenges. What we do help customers do is to create some abstractions and neutrality so that it makes switching costs for operating systems or hardware or cloud platforms lower. And it does help to invest in a way to abstract out the differences between those operating systems. And that's exactly what we see companies doing to help absorb this type of change. It's a good practice no matter what you do, because it might be that you want to be able to use Debian and Canonical interchangeably, or you want to be able to bring in Alpine and have some variation with that. That is actually very good business practice to have a more diversified set of operating systems. However, there are times, and CentOS is one of those places, where people have built things on top of CentOS and rely on specific versions. And what we do see is, because of the dominance of Red Hat and CentOS as a platform, it can be very difficult for companies to make other choices. And they will be locked into those distributions and potentially those versions. And it's going to be fascinating to see if these forks of CentOS create enough binary compatibility that they could actually pick up CentOS users.
Does this also send a kind of warning to the ecosystem that to rely on projects and also track very closely how the maintenance and governance of any project is being done? And sometimes, you know, we have discussed it earlier that a lot of companies, they go towards projects which are maintained and managed by neutral foundations, because that's where you don't have this risk, because the decisions are made by the community in general, or that doesn't make any impact or effect.
You know, there's governance of any of these projects when you're using open source software is paramount. In a lot of cases, it's not even a governance problem. In the CentOS example, it's about build and reproducibility. And that is really the thing that has been very hard, right? Red Hat's source code is open. It has to be open based on license. But actually creating the distribution that you would install requires a significant amount of intellectual property of its own. And so I think that when you look at how these things work, it is important to understand the governance, but also how you are picking up that distribution, how you're getting support, and how things work. In a lot of ways, it's great that these systems are open source. It allows the community, like we're seeing with CentOS, to protect itself. But that wasn't cheap and easy. The companies that created the forks of CentOS have invested person years of effort already into building the infrastructures to maintain those systems. And those were also going to require commercial support. So these are very real costs that have to be borne by the industry in order to make the systems we rely on usable.
So now there are forks. Now we do understand what is going on there. Do you think this is a kind of a matter which is settled? People have choices there they can use quickly move? Or do you think this is still a turbulent time where we are still trying to figure out what directions to go to?
So we have been working within our customer base at Rackham to hear what their urgency is on migration. We've implemented a Rocky Linux as part of our universal workflow system and making that available for customers. I think at the end of the day, we still have time for people to figure out what they want to do in the migration perspective. The real question, and things like Alma Linux are going to continue to be more cloud focused, while Rocky Linux is going to be very HPC Linux, which is normal for Linux distributions. I think the jury is still out on whether or not we end up with as dominant a distribution as we have seen with CentOS. And that ultimately, I think, will cause further fragmentation in the Linux industries. Right, clouds already have their own distributions that they're maintaining. We are seeing more and more fragmentation. And as somebody who wants to make software available, not having a more common or more centralized distribution, I think actually makes the whole industry move slower and be more difficult to maintain. And in that case, I think we're going to see ramifications for this that take years and years to play out. And the lack of that dominance that CentOS has enjoyed, it will do harm in the industry over time.
Rob, thank you so much for taking time out and talk about this complicated topic with such ease. And as I said, I would love to have you back on the show. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. It's a great conversation.